That looks like this. Would you take it out in your hand, please, if you can find one of these under your seat, on your seat, in front of you somewhere. Hopefully you've got this card. It's an invite to our Easter weekend services. Starting Good Friday, we're doing a Good Friday service from 9 till 10. And then we're here on Sunday to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, also from 9 till 10. We want you to use the card along with our You're invited card. Now you can get a supply of these from the welcome desk in the foyer. These are to help you invite family and friends along to Easter. You know, statistically, people are more likely to come to church at Easter time than any other time throughout the year. So a personal invite from you, a card, a follow-up, a call, an offer to bring them to church on that day will result in people saying yes, and hopefully result in people saying yes to Jesus. So if you've got people around your world that don't know Jesus, what we want you to do is use this opportunity and the cards to invite them along on Easter weekend. Is that a good deal?
Yes.
So make sure you get some, grab some. You'll find them at the Next Steps area or the welcome desk straight after the service. There'll be people there that can help you with that inquiry. Make sure you're aware of everything that's happening in church news. The good news is church is still functioning as per normal. The world is in a panic, but we're not. And we're following directives of our government in terms of whatever we need to do to help keep people healthy throughout this very unusual season. At this time, public meetings under 500 are allowed to take place. And so our church services will continue as per normal. If they drop that number and we need to respond and do some other form of gathering, then we'll just do that. If we need to meet in small groups, if we need to have an online presence, we'll develop that so that we can do online services for people digitally to help you still be involved and still connect and do the faith journey along with your church. And so we'll be responding however we need to. You'll notice at the door today, we're not shaking hands. There's no holy kisses today for anybody. There's no brotherly, sisterly hugs. There's none of that. So if someone gives you the old, you know, hand in the pocket trick, just don't get offended today. It's all about, you know, Cheryl, when she was doing the emceeing, talked about the offering talk. If I've got it, you've got it. Well, it's a bit like that with coronavirus. If I got it, you got it. So we're not wanting to share the love. So just keep the love to yourself in terms of that. So if you can help us help everybody. If you are sick, please, if you'd self-isolate. Some people don't need much encouragement with that. They do that pretty well. If you need to self-isolate, then self-isolate for a little while. Just stay away because we want to protect the wider community here in church and certainly the wider community in our city. We will be communicating via our phone app, so make sure you download our phone app. If you need some help with that, if you go to the Next Steps area, they'll help you in that regard. So our communications will come out via our phone app in terms of any changes to our routines or what we do as a church. Exciting times, aren't they?
Yeah.
Exciting times. Crazy times. Just crazy. Who would have knew a roll of toilet paper would be worth so much? Who'd have knew? You'd have stocked up years ago, wouldn't you? You'd have had your barns full of toilet paper and baked beans and, yeah, all that stuff. So, yeah. Good news is God's in control. We're talking today, we're doing a conversation for a number of weeks as we lead up to Easter. Easter is coming so quick, I can't believe it's almost Easter. We're headed towards Easter as a church, and so we've started a new series of conversations and sermons called Red Letter Day. Red Letter Day. It's called that because in your Bible you'll notice in the New Testament there's some pages that have red letters on them, red writing, and it's in reference to the words that Jesus uttered while he was on earth, and we're particularly focusing on the moment when Jesus was on the cross and hanging on the cross, and there were some words he said that are really profound, deeply profound, powerful words that have deep theological consequences for humanity. And so we're taking our time just to park on a phrase at a time over the next few weeks as we build up to our Easter time. By the way, we're turning 10 as a church in terms of our merger took place 10 years ago. So April 5, at this stage, everyone say at this stage. At this stage, I nervously announce that we have Pastor Denny Gugulamuchi with us on that weekend, who's grand pastor of our church. We're hoping Denny can keep a clearance to fly. He's not well, as many of you are aware, and so the whole coronavirus deal and him flying and being among crowds is a little delicate at the moment, but he desperately wants to be with us for that weekend on April 5. Make sure you're here and bring your family and friends along on that day as we celebrate together being 10 as a church. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 34. We're going to read a few verses about when Jesus was on the cross. It said, two others were criminals and they were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, this is straight after he's been nailed to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Are the words we want to focus on this morning. For they don't know what they do. I want you to think about those words, because when you read it in the Bible on the pages, it just rolls along so nicely and you skip over it. And it requires some intentionality to really just stop there and think about what Jesus is saying and doing and teaching us, modeling for us, exampling for us in this moment as he hangs on the cross. He's just been beaten. He's just been beaten within an inch of his life, brutalized so severely that he didn't even look like a human being. They'd stripped his clothes off. They'd beat him with a whip that had glass and metal in it 39 times. Historians tell us that the organs of Jesus would have been exposed as his flesh was torn apart. They'd blindfolded him, they'd beaten him in the face time and time again, and they said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. And they kicked him and they spat on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head just to mock him. All of this humiliation took place and all of this brutalization took place until Jesus was barely recognizable. Not to even mention the emotional damage that Jesus would have suffered in these moments of build up to the cross, as creation committed this travesty against the Creator, Jesus. And he marches up to the cross. They lay him on the cross. They pierce his hands and his feet with nails and they hang him between these two criminals. And in that moment, Jesus looks down and says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. I don't know about you, but I don't think Father, forgive them would be the first words coming off my lips or off your lips at that. I can't believe that his first instinct. I can't believe that it staggers me that the first instinct of Christ is to say, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. That statement, that response is beyond me. I think it's beyond many of us. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. You know, forgiveness is not just for those that are ignorant of what they do. Here Jesus says, forgive them because they don't know what they do. In other words, they're ignorant of what's taking place here, Father, so would you please forgive them? But I want to suggest to you today that the forgiveness of God is not just for those that don't know what they do, but the forgiveness of God is for those that know exactly what they do. And that's the problem for us. When it comes to our own failings, our shortcomings, our own sin, we know exactly what we do. We're not ignorant of what we do. We know exactly what we do. But my thought today is this, is whether you don't know or whether you do know, forgiveness is for you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, forgiven? Forgiven. Forgiveness is for every single one of us. I don't know about you, but if I was hanging on that cross and if they'd have done to me what they'd have done to Jesus, I wouldn't have said, Father, forgive them. I would have said, Father, get them. Father, can you unleash all of the angels of heaven? Can you do something about this injustice? Can you get me down from here? And can you deal with these religious leaders? Can you deal with these Roman soldiers? Can you deal with those that are humiliating me and mocking me in this moment? But Jesus says, Father, forgive them. You know, the forgiveness thought is relevant for all of us. We all need forgiveness and we all need to forgive. And the reality is, part of doing this human journey well, who wants to do the human journey well? You have no other option, you're human, so you're going to do the human journey. We want to do the human journey well. And to do the human journey well, to do life well, to do relationship well, we all need to learn the forgiveness issue. We all need to learn how to forgive. We all need to learn to walk in forgiveness, and we all need to learn to forgive ourselves. Because the reality is, humans hurt humans all the time. Humans hurt humans all the time. And there are hurt humans in this room today. There are hurt humans in your row today. There are hurt humans sitting next to you today, and you are a hurt human. And we all hurt, and we all hurt each other. Things that are said or not said, things that are done or not done, expectations not realized, hopes destroyed. To err is human, is what they say. To err is human. You know, Jesus understands. The Bible says he understands, he sympathizes, he empathizes with us in our humanness. Jesus was both God and man. He did the divinity thing, the divine thing, the deity thing, the God thing really well. But not only did he do that well, he did the human thing really well too. He really did the human journey well. He talked about not judging others, and he lived that. He talked about forgiving others. He talked about not casting accusation against others. Jesus did the human journey well. And I think one of the things that Jesus is very concerned about is that we as Jesus followers also do the human journey well. That we do the human journey well when it comes to forgiveness. Father, forgive them. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father. But it's a whole lot more than a prayer. It's not just words as he hung on a cross. They're actually a prophecy that was spoken some 700 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah. And it's written in Isaiah 53 verse 12, where it says of Jesus that he bore the sin of many and he made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession as he bore the sins of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. So these words are a prayer, praying to his Father, praying to God the Father to forgive these people because they didn't know what they were doing. More than a prayer, more than even just a prophecy, these words changed how humanity would do forgiveness from that time on. Jesus was teaching his disciples and everybody at the cross how to do human really, really well. You see, up until that time, if you offended someone, the law was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. You hurt me that way, I'm going to hurt you the same way. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In other words, it's kind of like, you hurt me, I'll cut you. I'll cut you. I'm going to get you. Is the kind of language and law that they live by in terms of dealing with offense. Their only method for dealing with offense was, I'm going to get you back. And it's sad to say that some 2,000 years later, not much has changed in the eyes of a lot of people. But in the eyes of the church and Jesus followers and disciples, our command is that we are to forgive others. Our command is that we are to walk in forgiveness. And so the after Christ and after cross response is a response that says, God's forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive you. God's forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive you. He taught his disciples this in a prayer in Matthew 6 when he told them to pray this way, Father, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts. He's not talking about money here. He's not talking about assets. He's talking about people that are indebted against us and how we are indebted towards God in terms of offense and sin and things that are done wrong. He says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive those that are debtors against us. So Jesus takes forgiveness at the cross to a whole new level. He takes forgiveness at the cross to a whole new level. No longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now it's, I'll forgive you because I've been forgiven. I'll give you grace because grace has been given to me. I'll show you mercy because mercy has also been given to me. And so forgiveness is both something we receive and it's something we give. It's something we receive and it's also something that we give. It's the central message, the core thought and reason for the cross of Jesus Christ. That forgiveness is for everyone and everyone is forgiven. Forgiveness is for everyone and everyone is forgiven. And so forgiveness starts with me and it's for all. It starts with me and it's for all. There was a moment in the Bible when Peter, one of the followers of Jesus, asked Jesus this question: how many times should I forgive someone when they sin against me, when they err against me, when they do me wrong? How many times, Jesus, should I forgive them? And Peter thought in his big heart of generosity he'd name a number. And he suggested to Jesus, should I forgive someone seven times? Thinking that's a pretty good deal, you know. For someone to offend against you seven times, that's fairly offensive, isn't it? If someone was to hurt you intentionally seven times. And so Peter suggests, Jesus, if someone sins against me seven times, should I forgive them? And Jesus says this response. He says, Peter, 70 times seven. 70 times seven. And in this reading of the scriptures, you can feel Peter trying to calculate 70 times seven. He's not real smart. He's trying to work it out. Seven times seven. He's trying to figure it out. But it wasn't a mathematical equation that Jesus was giving him. And Jesus didn't allow Peter to do the calculation. He started to instruct Peter very specifically in a story about how forgiveness is to work for us, and I want to focus on it for a few minutes. It's in Matthew 18, where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. Now, a little hint on the story: the king is God and we are the servants. The king is God and we are the servants. So he said the king decided to bring accounts to a balance for all those that were indebted to him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed millions of dollars. That's a reasonable debt. Millions of dollars. It's a fair bit. He said he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. How many of you are glad that debt collection has changed nowadays? They're selling your wife, they're selling your kids, they're selling your dog, even your Honda, your Holden. They're selling everything. And he just couldn't pay the debt. And it says, but the man fell down before the master and begged him and said, please, please be patient with me and I will pay you all that I owe. And then the master was filled with pity and released him and forgave him his debt. You know, the truth is that the principle of this story is this, is the debtor can't always repay you for what they've done wrong. The debtor can't always repay you for what they have done wrong. Now, we all have a debt that we owe God. It's called sin. Jesus paid for that on the cross of Calvary and has set us free from the responsibility and the wages of sin, which is death. He's paid that and done that for us. But in terms of our relationships and our relational circles, the debtors in our life can't always repay us for what has been done wrong. I'm not talking about them repaying you in terms of finances. I'm talking about them making it right. They can't always make right what has been done wrong. You can't turn back time. You can't go back to a thing that was said or a thing that was done, to a circumstance, a place, or an event. They can't make it right. They can't fix it. What's done has done. What is. What's happened has happened. And if we are going to learn to walk into forgiveness and in forgiveness, we need to understand that debtors cannot always repay what they've done for us or to us, so therefore the forgiven must show mercy. You know, all the power relationally is with the person that has been offended. And this is the message of this story, that the forgiven must show mercy. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Be kind to each other. Turn to your neighbour and just say, be kind. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. In other words, be soft. Be soft towards each other, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In our story that Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven, there's this servant that's been forgiven a tremendous debt, millions of dollars, and then he's forgiven and he walks free. All the debt's gone from him. He's a relieved man. He walks straight out onto the street and he sees someone that owes him money, $1,000. $1,000 in comparison to millions of dollars. And so he says to this guy that owes him $1,000, where's my money? You owe me a grand. I want my money. And the guy didn't have it. So he grabs him by the neck and he starts to choke him. And he starts to deal with this guy demanding payment, and he couldn't pay, so he has him thrown into prison. Now remember, this is the servant that had just been shown so much grace, so much mercy, so much forgiveness in terms of releasing him from his unmanageable debt, and yet he throws the servant that owes him just $1,000 in prison. And this is what Jesus says to response to that. He says, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And this is what? This is the moral of the story. This is what your heavenly Father will do for you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and your sisters from your heart. You know, the truth of this parable, this story that Jesus told about forgiveness is this. Those that are forgiven much need to forgive much. And I think our ability to forgive is determined by our ability to understand how much we have been forgiven. The greatness of the debt that we owed God in forgiving us of our sins. And so the answer to Peter's question was not a mathematical calculation. The answer was, we live forgiven and we live forgiving. We live forgiven and we live forgiving. Peter, it's not about seven. It's not even about 77. It's about a spirit. It's about a posture. It's about a belief system you have that you will live as a forgiving person towards other humans because you have been forgiven so much. You know, I think the Bible says so much about forgiveness because the issue is unforgiveness is such a cruel, brutal prison to live in. Unforgiveness is such a cruel, brutal prison for people to live in. Because when we live with unforgiveness, it ties us to that person, that place, that problem. It ties us to that person, that place, that problem. And it puts bars around us and it confines us, it restricts us, it holds us. And a lot of people waste their entire life living in that prison of unforgiveness and never escape the bars of that person, that problem, that place because of an unforgiving posture towards what happened. So here's my question. Are you in a prison of unforgiveness today, even though you're forgiven? Are you in a prison, because a lot of Christians are, in a prison of unforgiveness because even when we have been forgiven so much? You see, forgiveness is not for the benefit of the other party. Forgiveness is actually for you. Forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness sets you free from what was said, from what was done, from what has happened. And so forgiveness actually sets you free from the prison, not the other person. Forgiveness enables you to live free, not the other party. What do we do when the problem just seems way too big? It's like, "Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't live in my world. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the scenario for me. You don't know my situation. How can you say that I should forgive because it's way too big?" I'm not pretending it's easy. I'm not pretending it's simple. I'm not giving you an equation of do this step, this step, this step, and you'll be free. All I'm asking is that we consider what Jesus said here to Peter about the great debt that we owe, and we understand that towards God. Then it helps us to do human really well. It helps us to love others and forgive others and to have a posture of grace. It helps us if we understand that we are forgiven, therefore I must forgive. Jesus said it this way in another place in Matthew 6 for his disciples. He said, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." If. Everyone say if. If. If you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. You see, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice that every one of us have to make even before we get offended against, to forgive. It's a choice not to waste your life behind the bars and the prison of unforgiveness. Life is too short to waste, confined by a person, a place, or a problem. Forgiveness is a choice to live large and live free. Forgiveness is a choice to posture yourself with grace and to respond to humanity with a sense of divinity. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. And the truth is, you are never more godlike or godly than when you forgive. You're never more godlike or godly than when you forgive. And so Jesus hung on that cross and he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, because they really don't know what they do. You see, humanity had thrown their best at him, their worst at him. They'd abused him and brutalized him until he didn't even look human. And yet in his humanness, he cries out for their soul. And he says, Father, would you forgive them? Because they don't know what they do. Church, can I encourage every one of us to embrace forgiveness? To embrace forgiveness, to extend forgiveness, because forgiveness is a word for every one of us. Because not only do you need the forgiveness of God, you need the forgiveness of brothers and sisters also, but mostly you need the forgiveness of self. Because the forgiven must learn to forgive themselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. We all need to learn the art and the skill of forgiving ourselves. This is an essential skill for a human who wants to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because we can understand God's forgiveness, we can even forgive others, but for many the forgiveness of self is a whole new level of issue, because when we fail there'll always be that condemning little voice. The Bible says our enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us day and night, and we hear voices. Some of you hear voices in your head. You do. And it's the voice of the accuser in our spirit, in our soul, reminding us about what we said or didn't say. And it will push us to a place of hopelessness and despair. It'll take us in a direction we don't want to go. It'll get life into a place where nothing good happens because we're not able to forgive ourselves. You see, the devil will magnify your mess-ups and your goof-ups and your stuff-ups. He will magnify all of that. And don't sit there looking so righteous and holy at me. You got them. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got them. And the good news is, not only do you got them, God's got you. He's got you. And he understands your humanness. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. And not only to forgive others, but to forgive yourself. You see, the enemy will come along in your mind and he'll say, who do you think you are? You don't belong in church. You need to self-quarantine and hide and go away and separate. You're not worthy. You're not worthy to be called a God follower. You don't belong in worship. You don't belong in church. You're a bad husband. You're a bad wife. You're a bad son. You're a bad daughter. You're a bad boss. You're a bad Christian. You're whatever. All these labels and accusation that he brings against us. I love the fact that Jesus' first thought and one of his last thoughts was, Father, would you forgive these people? Because they really don't know what they've done. And I think there are times when we sin against God and we sin against each other and we sin against ourselves where we really still don't understand what we've done. And we just need to be forgiven and to walk in forgiveness and help others forgive themselves, but most importantly, sit under forgiveness ourselves. You see, you're either going to sit under accusation or affirmation. And I can tell you now, affirmation's a whole lot more healthier. Affirmation is a whole lot more healthier. How good do you feel when someone affirms you? When someone affirms you, literally meaning someone makes you firm, solid. You feel good when someone affirms you, someone encourages you. As opposed to accusation, when someone brings an accusation against you. And the Bible says that our enemy is the accuser of the brothers. He's our accuser. Whereas God here is our affirmer and wants us to understand that we are forgiveness. So we need to receive God's word of forgiveness that was given on the cross that day, not only for the Roman soldiers, not only for the religious leaders, not only for those that walked past and mocked Jesus, but for every one of us to know that forgiveness is our word. It's our word. And the only way to do this life journey well is to forgive people. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth never worked. And yet it's still a system that people operate on throughout this entire world 2,000 years later. But Jesus, when he hung on that cross, he brought a whole new way of living, a whole new way of relating, where we would understand that we are forgiven, therefore we forgive. Can I have our team come to stage, please? We are forgiven, so therefore we forgive. You know, the beautiful thing about forgiveness is how it sets people free. The Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. A free man walks totally differently to an imprisoned man or an imprisoned woman. And it's so easy for people to get bound. It's so easy for people to imprison themselves. Would you please stand with me? It's so easy for people to imprison themselves. Not only to be imprisoned by others, but to imprison themselves. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he did it so that we'd all know forgiveness. All know forgiveness. Like the Bible says that God so loved the world, not just a select bunch of people that would go to church, but he loves the world. And he wants the world to live in forgiveness and embrace forgiveness. So forgiveness with God started with Jesus on the cross, but it ends with you. In other words, it's your decision to receive God's forgiveness. It's your decision to say yes to him. It's your decision to say, God, I need to have my debt cleared. Debt cleared. Would you think about that for a moment? Debt cleared. What would it be like if you had a mortgage and you're thinking, I've got a mortgage? Well, if you had a mortgage, what would it be like if somebody walked in and said, I'd love to pay your mortgage. I'd like to pay your mortgage. If you're renting, if they came, you said, I'd love to buy you a house. You know? How sweet would that be? And I don't get too excited because I'm not doing that for you today. But that would be so good, wouldn't it? Or even a car. Like, you know, here's a car I got you. And not the kind of car people sometimes give you when they want to give away their second-hand car that's 25 years old and, you know, hardly running. I'm talking about a car. Like, think of your favourite car, your little Mini Cooper S. Your favourite car. And if someone drove into the driveway, put a big bow on it and said, it's all yours. Sweet. What a good deal. How amazing would that be? How amazing would it be to drive home today and somebody's wrapped up your house and put a big red bow on it? Debt free. Ha ha. That would be so good. Do you know, literally that's what God the Father did when Jesus hung on the cross. But he didn't wrap him with a ribbon. He wrapped him with blood. He wrapped him with blood, the ultimate price to be paid for all of our sins so that we'd be free. And it's given an offer to every one of us. It started with him, but it ends with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? It ends with you. And I want to give you an opportunity today, before we move on and do a few other things, just to come to a point for every person in this room to come to a point, actually, of understanding and receiving and embracing God's forgiveness. I think it's so important to understand how vital this is for life, that our Creator has paid the debt, paid the price, and that we have the opportunity to live debt-free in terms of our sin, our failings, our shortcomings towards God. There's no other way to be free. You can go and see a lot of counsellors, and I believe in counsellors. It's not going to help you get free of that sin. You can go and see a lot of psychologists, and I believe in psychologists. It's not going to help you. You can go and see a lot of life coaches and it's not going to help you. You've got to go to the cross. You've got to go to the cross. To the crosswords where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. If you don't know that you're forgiven today, while you've got your head bowed, eyes closed, if you don't know that you're forgiven of your sins today and that Jesus paid the price, can I tell you that you are? If you receive and embrace and acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I mean, to miss out on the fact that somebody's paid the bill for you and to live all your life trying to pay it is such a silly thing. And so today, if you're in the room and you haven't said yes to Jesus and everything that he offers you in terms of forgiveness and relationship with him, I want to give you the opportunity to say yes today, very simply, just to say yes to Jesus. You're not joining a church. You're not joining religion. What you're doing is you're establishing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, and what He did on the cross of Calvary when He paid the price for your sins. To say yes to Jesus today, I simply want you to acknowledge your need of Him. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high, and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. You can stay where you are. I'm not going to highlight you. It's a private moment. It's an intimate moment where you acknowledge your own need of God. I'm simply going to ask you to lift up your hand in a moment. I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to place your hand down, and then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray God will come into your heart and life, turn things around, forgive you of your sin, and become the Lord and Savior of your world, your life. Maybe it's something you've done years ago and you've walked well away from it, and today you just need to come back to the simplicity of truth that you need to know you're forgiven and loved by God today. If that's you right now, would you take a moment while no one's looking around and everyone's got their eyes closed? Would you lift up your hand nice and high, and by doing that you're saying, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Tony, would you please pray for me? I need to give my life to Jesus. Thank you, Ben. Put your hand down. Somebody else today, is that you? Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. Pray for you before we dismiss our service today. Right across the hall, just quickly, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you today and include you in this prayer. Father, I pray for this woman today. I pray, dear God, come into her heart and her life today. Lord, bring forgiveness. Help her to understand and embrace forgiveness, that you have forgiven her of her sin. The debt has been paid. Father, there's no more debt to pay. There never will be, because it was all paid at the cross of Calvary. Help her to live free, to walk differently today, Lord, to know that you're the Lord and the Savior. You're the director of her life. She's loved, she's valued, and she belongs to you and to your family. Today, help her to know that without a shadow of a doubt. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a hand today as we embrace His Word today. Now, can I go to you for a moment? While you still got your eyes closed, your head's bowed. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, is what Jesus prayed. Maybe you got some forgiving to do of other people today. Maybe you just got to let them out of that prison and let yourself out of that prison. And stop wasting and living behind bars you were never intended to live behind. If that's you today, today's the day to start that. It's also the day to stop it. Stop living there and decide to live somewhere else in a greater level that God has for you. And then there are some here today, you just need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. It is what it is. What's done's done. The Christ who hung on the cross at Calvary, what He has done is enough for you. It's enough for you. And you cannot waste your life any longer living under the judgment of that. And so today, be free. In Jesus' name. And get over yourself. Get over yourself. I want to pray for us today, right across this hall, for people that need to forgive and people that need to forgive themselves today. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking that you help people today, relationally, through life, to do human well and to forgive people around their world that have in some way offended against them, things that have been done, things that have been said or not done, hopes that have shattered, dreams, whatever it is, for people to realize the urgency of the hour to forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven. But then not only that, to forgive ourselves, God. To forgive ourselves of things that have been done and said. And to walk in freedom today. Because who Christ sets free is free indeed. And we want to be free. We want to be free. We don't have the time to waste being bound, being prisoned by God. the bars of unforgiveness of others, but not only others, of ourselves today. So grace us with forgiveness is what I pray. In Jesus' powerful name, amen, amen, amen. Come on.